Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are this week Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Dan Barkowiak with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Dan, I want to start with you this week. The budget train is on the tracks in Harrisburg, and it looks like the House and Senate are digging in their heels when it comes to education spending and a host of other issues. What are the key sticking points in those talks with just a couple weeks to go now until the deadline?
Yeah, well, the one obvious sticking point is just the overall amount of spending. You know, the House passed a budget by party lines that's nearly $1 billion, that's with a B, more than Governor Shapiro's proposal. Senate leaders, they've said that amount of spending is too impossible to accept. So we certainly are going to be seeing probably past the June 30th deadline. One example you mentioned about education, millions of dollars more to public education. It would be nice to see Governor Shapiro work to advance his campaign promise of school choice options like the Lifeline Scholarship Program. Yet we're continuing to see the same old practices, same old increased spending in the budget talks. So, frankly, the current proposal, it would drain our reserves, the rainy day fund, and as a result, the next few budget cycles certainly are going to be more challenging.
Yeah, this is going to test what kind of Governor Shapiro is, because this is kind of the first time he's had to deal with this. We'll see what kind of leadership we see from the governor's mansion on this. Jason, the New York lawmakers sort of wrapped up work. It's hard to kind of define it because I understand the assembly will be back next week, but they went home last weekend. A lot of folks are wondering, okay, what did they do? What didn't they do? Can you kind of give us a wrap-up of the important legislative items in Albany?
Yeah, I think one of the clear victories that our organization saw was the defeat of assisted suicide legislation. For the eighth year in a row, it did not move to a floor vote, so that's very encouraging. Additionally, we saw the passage of a good bill that would establish the Office of Hospice and Palliative Care here in New York State. I think that would be an encouraging development. But beyond that, I can't say there's a lot of good news coming out of our state legislature. There's a whole lot of spending and a whole lot of bad things being done regarding, for example, so-called election law reform, public campaign financing that really only protects incumbents. It's just not a good move for the Empire State.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd include clean slate in that. But, one of the other bad news from Albany, Jason, we'll get back to you, Dan, in a minute. But New York's looking at a $36 billion deficit over the next 3 years. And next week, lawmakers returning to Albany to consider more spending, $2 billion more, for health care for illegal immigrants. Is this true?
Yeah, when you look at what happened with the state budget, only 2 weeks after the budget was approved, we learned the New York State was looking at a $4 billion deficit in the current year. And now projecting that out, it's $36 billion over the next few years. That's incredible. That's why when you mentioned clean slate, and now we look at the priorities of the legislature, it's just upside down. No. We cannot afford to do what they're doing. And yet they continue to fund and support pro-criminal policies rather than what the Empire State really needs.
Yeah. The transgender agenda is alive and well, sadly, in Pennsylvania, Dan. I didn't realize this. Pennsylvania tax dollars are actually funding sex change procedures on children in the Commonwealth. How is this happening? What can be done to stop this from happening?
Yeah, it's certainly disturbing. Late last year, we uncovered through Right to Know requests that Pennsylvania has spent over $16 million on what the state calls sex reassignment surgery services on those 18 and under. The spending was increased 5,000% from 2015 to 2021. So certainly there was an agenda being used to force these types of surgeries. Again, we're talking about children. We need to stop these practices. That's why we're trying to speak out and encouraging others to do the same. We have an interview on our website now with Chloe Cole. Everyone should know who Chloe Cole is and her story.
Yeah.
She shares about what happened to her when doctors essentially rushed her into this destructive program. She was just 13 years old. And, she's sadly not alone in that experience. All the physical, emotional harms. So we certainly encourage you, PAFamily.org, watching that interview and speaking out on that.
Yeah, along this topic, Jason, the New York State Education Department issued new guidance this week regarding how schools handle this topic. And one of the guidelines they put out is to refer to a student by the pronoun they prefer. And, oh, by the way, you don't have to tell the mom or dad about this either. Is this about protecting kids, or is this about undermining parental rights?
Yeah, it's clearly about undermining those parental rights and really moving ahead with this indoctrination of transgenderism in our state. One of the regents in regard to this whole issue made the comment that because parents are pushing back against this, they're standing for traditional values, that essentially they need to double down. That's the position that Albany and the state of New York is taking, is to double down against parents in the raising of their children.
Yeah, unreal. The I-95 down in Philly, if you can avoid that, do so. It is going to be out of commission for months, Dan. The largest city in Pennsylvania. I heard something like there's 60 red lights that trucks now have to go through to get around that mess. That is a stretch of highway used by 160,000 vehicles a day, but not anymore. How damaging is this, Dan? And I know we don't usually talk infrastructure on this program, but it's a huge story now. Is this giving pause that maybe there are other overpasses in the Commonwealth that need to be looked at?
Well, infrastructure has certainly been an ongoing issue for Pennsylvania. You know, certainly this I-95 debacle really is now doubling, tripling commute times for those coming into Philadelphia. And I think the timing, frankly, of the collapse happening at the heat of budget season is the reminder of high spending in the state budget, especially that's not backed by projected revenues, is really an unwise decision. You know,
yeah.
Just like any family, emergency costs arise. What's the cost going to be on Pennsylvania taxpayers, the citizens, even just frankly the commute times and the gas prices? And, you know, infrastructure is just one of the looming problems facing Pennsylvania, and certainly the bridge collapse. I hope it's a wake-up call to some lawmakers to rein in on their spending habits.
Yeah. Jason, one of the final acts of the legislature before they left town last week was to green light this slave reparations study. I'm kind of wondering, why would a free state like New York have to go this route here?
Well, you're not the only one wondering that. You know, I think what's happening in Albany and our state houses, we're so often driven by political ideologies rather than what is best interest of our state. There are segments of a progressive population that are moving to rewrite history. Just this last week in Albany, a familiar statue, founding father essentially of our state, was removed from in front of the Albany Town Hall building there, and now we are moving to rewrite history in this form. It's just a bad place for us to be as a people when we can't even learn from the lessons of the past, but rather we have to rewrite the history and really just ingrain the bitterness between peoples.
Yeah, got about a minute to talk about Trump. I know it's your favorite topic, guys. Big news this week, of course. Dan, I've got to ask. Many are saying that this indictment, this arrest, this historic arrest, first time ever that a former president's facing federal charges, that just handed him the GOP nomination. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it may be the case. What's interesting, I think, is the amount of media that Trump has garnered from all this. It's all over the headlines, wall-to-wall coverage. You know, President Biden, you know, and his own classified documents, there's hardly a news story. So former President Trump, he's holding fundraisers a day after the arraignment. So I think it's a bit early to tell if it's going to be, you know, handing him the nomination. But it's certainly impacting his media coverage and his campaign.
Yeah, it's kind of taking all the air out of the room, Jason. I know the guy that's leading this prosecution, Special Counsel Jack Smith, he's got no easy task either. He's got to find a jury of 12 men and women in the state of Florida, which Trump won pretty easily in 2020 to convict this guy. But any one of 37 criminal counts, possibly, Trump is a felon and could spend some considerable time in prison. Is he going to step down if he's convicted? I know he's saying right now he's not.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing a conviction anytime soon because the legal system will allow much opportunity to delay these things until after the election. So I'm having a hard time seeing something like that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is going to put questions in people's minds as to whether or not a second term would look very much like what we're seeing now. So often, the you know, just the baggage and the drama and things that come along with Trump the man would certainly impact a Trump presidency. And I think voters are going to have to weigh whether or not that's what they want to pursue in 2024.
All right, we'll see. The first GOP debate is in August in Milwaukee, so it's going to get real interesting then. And that's all the time we have this week. But if you have questions about any of the topics you've heard on the program, Dan and Jason would love to hear from you. Both of you have wonderful websites. Dan, we'll begin with you. Where can folks reach you?
Yeah, pafamily.org.
And stay informed in New York as well. Jason, your site, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.